Let me know how many liars, how many checked out as mostly lying. Okay, I get a good idea. How many were golden retrievers? Okay. Another golden retriever.
This is like how many otters? I'm just gonna sit it out here.
Lots of otters.
And then the beavers left.
Okay. How many lions are married to a golden retriever?
Oh, quite a few.
That's a frequent combination. Very hard on the golden retriever to be married to a lion. We want you to learn to think in terms of these four personalities when you're interacting with each other. And when you meet people, try to figure out what they are, and it'll help you relate to them as well as relate to each other. Like, for instance, Suzanne being the golden retriever is very sensitive. Me being the lion, you have to tell me you're trying to hurt me, because I will not ever figure it out. I just don't have any sensitivity. And Suzanne will tell me, did you see how he or she treated you? And I will not even know that they did anything to me, because she will recognize it, but not me, because I just don't operate in that world. For one thing, I don't care. That's probably the real problem. Are you hooked up, hon?
I don't know.
Can you hear her?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Okay.
So Suzanne is going to give some examples from some of the couples we've worked with over the years, some examples. But then we're going to ask you to figure out, were they lions, beavers, golden retrievers? We want you to see if you can determine which is which.
Okay, first, by way of further introducing ourselves, this is the most lion, biggest lion I have ever met. So that really attracted me very much to Bill before we were married, because I'm so indecisive, golden retriever, a pleaser, and I loved it that he likes to take charge. He's determined, self-confident. I never met anybody so self-confident. Yes, to the extreme, cocky. He's purposeful, goal-driven. I love that. He was a decision maker. I'm not a decision maker. Action-oriented. I love action. I don't like postponing. Let's do it now. I loved all those things. But after we were married, I discovered the extreme of that. And I was in fear when he thought he could control people, even on Atlanta expressways. And there was road rage. And I am honestly surprised that we're both standing here today without a serious accident. I used to get down under the dashboard because I knew we were going to crash. And second reason, I didn't want anybody to see me with him. It was embarrassing. So he overlooks feelings. He didn't know what feelings were when we got married. He's an engineer. All he knows is something logical. Imbalanced, a workaholic. So I am so happy that he got in this group of CBMC guys, because huge change. But before that, it was like, how many remember the movie The King and I, or the play? And this is what it was like in our house, with two daughters and I. And this was typical. I issue a proclamation, the lion would say. And I was, wait a minute, I don't remember talking about this. It was like Lisa, Sarah, and I were the kids, and he was the ruler. So you can't just say, well, I'm a lion. You just have to live with me. Because after he became a Christian and had Christ in his life, that temperament was tempered. And he did become more patient. He actually was somewhat merciful to the kids. So I like to use this prism at our house. Like, I have this sunny kitchen window with the western sun comes in, and when the grandkids come over especially, I put this prism in the window and the sun shines through it and makes, what is it?
Rainbow colors.
Rainbow, red.
Roy G. Biv.
Roy G. Biv.
You know Roy G. Biv, red, orange. You guys know that. Yes. You learned that in school. Roy G. Biv is the colors of the rainbow.
Oh, anyways. Just pretend there's sun coming through and you see these rainbows here. I think it's the same way with, it, pretend it's the Son of God, this is you, and it's radiating these qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I don't believe that you can relate to each other and, how can I say this? Your God-given personality taken to the extreme can get you in trouble. With God, if you invite God to be your center and show the fruits of the Spirit, you can change that personality to have a better relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't tell the other story.
That's what I want you to do.
Okay. And this one you need to, first I'll tell a funny story about the den boats. We have this couple that we were meeting with.
It's a little more.
Okay. That's magic. After taking this personality test, they found out that they were both golden retrievers. And when they took this, they looked at each other and they said, that's what's happening in our house. Because, for instance, he'd say to Barbara, so for our family vacation, we're going to the beach, Myrtle Beach, I hear. And she'd say, oh, I didn't decide that. When did that happen? And so they're both such pleasers that they're trying to figure out, what would the best thing be for my wife? And he's thinking the best thing for her. And what should we do? And nobody would take charge. So their son, who they hadn't figured out was a lion, would make a decision for the whole family. So they had to figure out how to take charge. All right, here's the situation with, shall I change their names to protect the innocent?
It doesn't matter, they wouldn't know them.
Okay. Brian, let's call her Kim. Brian and Kim in Atlanta, we were mentoring this, and well, actually we had six couples at our house and gave out this test. And then at the end, we had the people, would you raise your hand and see if you can identify your personality and that of your mate? And this guy's hand shot up and he said, yes, I know. And let me tell you what happened to us last weekend when we got a babysitter. They had little kids, they got a babysitter, they had one evening, and they had a list of things that they wanted to accomplish. So the first thing on the list was Best Buy. They wanted to get a DVD player. And they walk in, and within 5 or 10 minutes, she said, well, I don't like this one. It looks kind of cheap. I don't trust it. This one looks like the Cadillac, and that costs a little bit too much for our budget. Let's get this one. And he said, wait a minute. Where's the instruction book? I don't know how it works. I don't know if this is exactly what we need. And they had a fight right there in Best Buy, because she said, we have X amount of time, and I got to get on to the next thing on our list. So, okay, out there, which was which personality, and how would you have solved that? You must know by now which personality.
Which was the woman was which personality? Lion, yes. And the man was which personality? Beaver. Oh, very good.
How did you know Beaver? You would want to look at the instruction book first. So, right or wrong, we suggested, I said, he's kind of looks like the electronics guy. Maybe you could split up and you go ahead and go to the next thing on your list, which was Old Navy for stuff for the kids, and let him take care of that. Or, and I never want to tell people what to do. We offer at least two solutions. So what do you think another solution would be? For two people that have conflict. What?
That just let one person be in charge.
One person be in charge in one place.
That's
okay.
That's good.
That's a good alternative.
Yeah.
But you have to decide ahead of time. It's all about expectations. We won't get into that topic, but you talk ahead of time. Who's going to be in charge? Yeah. Okay. Another example. See if you can figure this one out. This is. I've changed their names to protect the innocent, and now I forgot who they are. Okay, it's Kevin and Lucy. Lucy is joie de vivre. She loves life. In the spring, she can't wait to get to the nursery and get all the flowers and plant the garden and make the house look beautiful. She loves painting. There is always an artist easel in her house, where in her, when she has time, she paints. Lucy loves riding horses, so she makes sure she has, at least every other day, gets to ride the horse. Lucy's husband, Kevin, is very conscientious, hard worker. He does not have hobbies. This couple got in deep trouble because Kevin was so mad that she was having so much fun while he's working, and supper could be at 5, it could be at 6, it could be at 7. She's having fun. And it got to the point where the wife called us just sobbing because he had actually become verbally abusive and said she was not a good wife, she was not a good mother, and it just crushed her. What is the solution here? What personality was he? This hardworking, conscientious beaver?
A beaver.
Yeah, that was part of it. Actually, he's part lion too. Not knowing him, you wouldn't know that. So what is Lucy? She is otter. She has a good time. So how do they get in balance? Any ideas? Okay, I know you know some answers. For one thing, we told Kevin, you have got to get a hobby. There's got to be something that's fun to you. You know what he loves to do is surprise me. Every once in a while he goes to, where is that racetrack?
In Charlotte, I think it is.
It's closer than that. He found a place where you can race cars. You can get in these race cars and just go, I don't know how many miles an hour. It scared me to death. But so now he makes sure that he has time to do something fun. And Lucy is making a real effort to gather the food and to have meals prepared. Actually, that didn't work either because the lion part of him wants to take charge of the cooking. So now, the way they've worked it out, she gathers food, has it all there, and says, go at it. And he does the meals because he doesn't like the way she does it. So that's their alternative. So that's two examples of how personalities can really cause conflict in a marriage and how you can work it out.
Okay, just one more. This the pastor at our church asked us to disciple this couple who kept coming to him and they're well into their 60s. And I don't want to do this because I know what the answer is. It's no way you can help them. But he just kept asking us. So finally, okay, we'll meet with them one time. So we listened to them. She eats nutritiously. He eats junk food. He is overweight. She is kind of an athlete, exercises a lot. He never exercises. Everything they talk about is polar opposite, yet they've been married like 40 years. And you think, what in the world? So finally, I listened to this, all this griping, and it didn't surprise me. I said, all right, I got a solution. neither one of you is happy 100% of the time. Is that correct? They said, that's right. This is kind of what you referred to earlier. So I said, I've got a way that you can be happy. Each of you can be happy half the time. And then they said, well, how could that be? I said, well, this week you do everything he says. Next week you do everything she says. And the first thing she says, but he's going to want to have sex all week. I said, then do it. I said, the next week you won't have any. So they gave this a try, believe it or not. And actually it worked for them. And then their marriage got better. And the last time we talked with them, they were really enjoying each other. And they both had changed a little bit of their lives to accommodate each other. So that was a big surprise to me, because I didn't think anything could help them. So just for a few minutes before we go to the next section, how about, does anybody want to talk about something you learned from this test or some questions you might want to ask about your own marriage? Anybody like to say anything, ask any questions? Do you think this is a good tool to use in your toolbox, in your marriage, to understand each other? Anybody have any comments?
What happens if you're strong in two of them? Like, score pretty similar in two of them.
What, for instance, which two?
Lion and otter.
Ooh, that's a pretty good combination. I think that's a great combination, because it's a good balance. What's your wife? Oh, see, you fit right into that. Either way, it works. And a golden retriever is easy. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. Are we back on?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes.
So, see, a golden retriever is the easiest person to be married to of all the different types, because they want to please. They're also the easiest to hurt. A golden retriever will almost never divorce. They will just hang in there and hang in there and hang in there. And that's one of the issues, is sometimes the husband or the wife doesn't respect the one that's a golden retriever. If the man is a golden retriever and the wife is a lion, that's really difficult, because the wife kind of loses respect. So that creates a lot of conflict. I'm going to do it that way. So anybody want to say about this? Do you all feel like you understand that you need to know what your wife is? Like, for instance, part of Suzanne's golden retriever is that she likes to exercise. So every morning, as much as possible, we go for long walks. So it's like we have to go walk for the day to go right. And if you throw in swimming or tennis or something, this is all really important to her. Now, how does God love Suzanne? Through me. So when I get to heaven, my reward in heaven is going to be heavily graded over how happy Suzanne is being married to me. You guys need to learn to think like that. And the reverse is true. How happy am I being married to Suzanne? Well, she knows that I like to be in charge. So we have to engage in a lot of discussions. Now, I'm usually the one pushing the envelope that I want to do something that she's not quite so comfortable doing. And so we have to talk about it and compromise.
I'll give one example of, I had actually went to the Link Counseling Center in Atlanta. He's a golden retriever married to a strong lion. Learned to need to be assertive. So I took that class on how to be assertive, and I learned something from Tim Keller, who is the preacher at a Presbyterian church in New York. He said it really helped him and his wife if you can say to each other, this is what you said, or this is what you did, and this is how I felt. How can we change that to make that different? For example, one time we were going somewhere to meet a couple for dinner, and he had on a blue shirt. He likes blue shirts, but it had a frayed collar. And I said, don't you have any blue shirts that don't have a frayed collar? It was kind of embarrassing to me, not to him. So he said, oh, next time you go shop, you have my permission to buy me a new blue shirt. sounds like a lion, doesn't it? I'll take charge of this. And somehow that just didn't really set right with me. So instead of reacting, you know, sometimes it's kind of like knee-jerk when the doctor hits you right here. And it's your, the old nature is kind of like that. And I'm tempted to say, you go find your own dumb shirt. You know, that's the natural response. But I thought for a minute, I remembered Tim Keller's, so I thought, let's find the right words here. So I said, when you said that, I felt like I was your personal shopper. Could you please say that in some different words? And so he said, oh, you don't remember, okay. He said, he actually said, the new self-control, Bill Shaw, said, oh, I'm sorry. The next time you were at the mall, would you mind looking for a new blue shirt for me? And that felt much better. I said, yeah, I'll be happy to do that. In fact, I love any excuse to go to the mall. So that worked well.
That was good. I forgot about that. So one of the things, as you're when you're a lion, and you just demand to have your own way, and then you become a Christian, you learn that you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit in you. And the man that was discipling me just couldn't talk to me about that in a way that I could understand it. And so I found a minister who was just out of Dallas Theological Seminary. And I kind of commanded that he meet with me and answer my questions. And I would go in to see him with long lists of questions about the Bible and about the science of the Bible. And so I asked him, I said, now, Tim, I said, I know there's supposed to be a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's what but I said, Tim, those are just words to me. It's just me. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Where is he? What is he doing? I said, it's just me here. I said, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. So Tim looked at me and he said, he knew I was really studying the Bible really hard, and searching and asking a lot. He says, if you just keep doing what you're doing, he said, you'll find out who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I'm really embarrassed to tell you this, but not too long after that, I was in my truck in Atlanta. Somebody had done something bad, and I was giving him the one-fingered salute, which I frequently did in my old nature, and now in my new nature, it still got loose. And into my head, as clear as a bell, I heard, could you go tell that man about Jesus? I looked in the back seat. I could not, I had no idea that this Holy Spirit had just spoken to me. That was the first time it had ever happened. And it was so strange. I pulled my hand back in and I thought, what in the world was that? But see, I got my assignment from God and I was in a rage when this happened. And it just terrified me. So that was the beginning of the Spirit speaking to me. And what I learned, and I'm trying to pass this on to you, because even if you're a Christian, you may not be used to thinking in terms of when is this Holy Spirit going to guide you and how do you know He is? Well, my value system is money. So one day I was cheating on my expense report, as everybody in my company did, and the Holy Spirit said to me, for every $100 you steal, I'm going to take $1,000 out of your bank account in heaven. You know, that didn't come from me. So I quit cheating on my expense report. So the other guys in the company said, what's wrong with you? You're not charging enough money to your expense report. And I said, look, this is something just between me and God. I'm trying it. Let's just don't. I didn't want to talk about it. So they'd leave me alone. So then I found out that I couldn't cheat on my taxes either. At the end of the year, I had to do my taxes right because God said you had to pay tax. I hated when I read that in the Bible. That was awful. That was awful. So also, one of the things about being married to a lion, those of you that are, is that a lion says no all the time. So the Holy Spirit totally convicted me that I could no longer say no to Suzanne and the girls, that I had to negotiate something. So I just want to tell you this little story that Suzanne comes to me and she says she wants to get Lisa a horse. That's our daughter. She's 12 years old. And here I am. I've started a business. I am working so hard trying to figure out who God is and how the Holy Spirit's working in me. But I remember that I couldn't say no. So I started thinking about this, and I said, all right, now with God, all things are possible, right? So let's put this up to God. So I went to Suzanne the next day, and I said, there are two customers that I just cannot get. One was in North Carolina, one was in South Carolina. I said, we'll get Suzanne and Lisa and the girls to pray that I would get those two customers. So I go to with Lisa at night, Suzanne with us, we get by the bed on our knees, and Lisa prays for those customers, the name of the company, the name of the men that are driving me nuts. They won't let me in the door. So she's praying for those guys. And now I feel like I have to go call on those customers, even though I don't want to, because they never let me in. I never can get past the gatekeepers in the company. But I keep going to see those customers. And about a year later, both of those men that were blocking me from getting those accounts, God just took them out of the company. And so I got both accounts, and Lisa got a horse. So what did Lisa learn? That the horse came from God. That I didn't give it to her, God did. And so we started doing this in our lives and in our families, that when we could see, that I could see as a lion, that I could see how this was possible, we, instead of saying no, we would negotiate something and see what God would do with it. Well, it's not too long after that I started doing it in my business. Because one of the things, as a chemist, I would invent these products that were fire retardant products. They would go on these chairs, for instance, and these chairs wouldn't burn. Nothing in your airline burns, nothing. And on a cruise ship, nothing burns. And I was inventing niche chemicals to keep those kind of fabrics from burning. So, where was I going with that?
Negotiating
is
a good job.
Yes.
Was it Vladimir? Hmm? Not Vladimir.
How did that get away from me?
Could I ask something while you're
sure,
thinking?
Sure, it may come back to me.
I don't want to let go of this issue. Oh. How does that work for you? Lion and otter? Maybe this will trigger it. Is that a conflict? Like you're really probably a strong work ethic and task-oriented, but the otter in you wants to take off and play? So is that a conflict in you? And then I'll ask her, do you feel like you have a voice? If he's a strong lion and likes to play on a lot of things, and you're the golden retriever, are you always trying to please? How does that work in your relationship? First, what? You're complete opposites. Do you enjoy that, or does that not working?
It's a challenge. No, we make it work. It's a challenge. Okay.
It's kind of like a magnet, right? It's opposite, but they attract each other.
Okay.
But you can negotiate with each other, can't you? Yeah.
So you negotiate. You've learned how to negotiate.
Don't say no to each other. Figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, after the tornado took the roof out of the house, we learned to negotiate.
What do
Did
we
that
do
really
first?
Happen?
You mean like whose parents do we go live with? Self-inflicted tornado.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I will talk to you afterwards.
Yeah.
We're good now, but yeah. So, yeah, we learned to communicate.
Okay, but I'm curious about this. If there's any other lion-otter combinations, you can tell me about this too. How does that work? Because it seems like they're opposite. Part of you is very task-oriented, and part of you is wants to play. How do you reconcile that in your life?
I think prioritizing what's important now.
Say that again.
Prioritizing what's important.
Prioritizing.
Now.
Yeah. Okay. You worked things out pretty good. Did you think
it.
Of it?
I got it. Came back. So as a chemist, I would invent these products, and I would take them to other chemists to introduce them and have them try them on these fabrics. Well, what I did before I was a Christian is I would only tell them the good things about the products. And then I got convicted that that wasn't really right, that I was kind of lying by leaving out the bad stuff about the products. So I found, I tried it out. I said, okay, God, we're going to give this a go. So this, talked to this chemist. I tell him all the good things. And then I say, but I have to tell you this. And so I would tell him a negative. And then that chemist would say, oh, I know how to do this, and I can get around that. You just saved me a lot of time. I said, well, there's one more negative. And I would tell him another negative, and then he would figure, the chemist would literally be teaching me how to get around the problems that I'd ran into at other customers. See, so it was a big benefit that they could use my products faster, and I also learned a lot more how to design a better product. So here, just because I was telling the truth, and the Holy Spirit was showing me that he could make this work. And so the business became much more successful much more quickly because I was doing this with the different customers. Do you have any more you want to say about
it? Just that I think it's really helpful to figure this out with respect to your children also, to figure out, like, I really wish that we had given this personality test to our kids and found out a lot sooner that we had a lion daughter. And I wish that I had read the book Shaping the Will Without Breaking the Spirit. There was a lot of conflict in our house because we had two lions. So I think it'd be really helpful to figure out, just for family dynamics, what personalities you can see developing in your kids.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what happened with our daughter a little bit later in the week.
Yeah, I won't get into that. But I just think it's so neat that the Lord has put us all together in such a unique way. I don't know anybody else that's just like Donna. I don't know anybody else that's just like Bill Shaw. I just love the way he's uniquely put us together, and I love this tool that helps us understand each other and live with each other in a more understanding way. But I just love that thought that, like what Sam Boyd, one of the preachers at Mount Vernon Baptist in Atlanta, he got away from his lectern and he confessed to us that he said he is helpless to do any of this, to react like a pleasant lion instead of a dictatorial lion. You can't do it. He said every morning, he says, first thing when his feet hit the floor, Lord, it's me again. Here I am. I'm empty. Please fill me again. So I think all of the relationships, all the self-control is asking every day for the Lord to be your center, be your source, or you're going to react like the knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, one more thing before we leave personality. We're going to move towards time. Remember, there's three parts of your marriage we're going to be working on, is where you spend your time, your intimacy, which is coming tomorrow, I think, and your money. Those three, when we see couples coming in with problems, those three things are always the source of the problem. And it's like a three-legged stool. And I can tell you, and you know this without me even saying this, but the sexual intimacy is the first thing to go out the window whenever there's something wrong with money or there's something wrong with your time. It always happens. And I guess we've almost never had a couple coming that was having regular sexual intimacy when they had a problem. And sometimes this had gone on for months and even for years before they came to get some help. So we find that these little tools about understanding personalities, we're also going to talk another day about how do you resolve conflict. But right now, could we get some men to come up and hand out these time, hand out a time schedule to everybody so we can talk about that? I already did. Sue, while they're handing these out, Suzanne wants to know, is there one couple here that would like to share what, from the personality test, something about they've learned about their marriage? Okay, would you guys just stand up? You don't have to stand up if you don't want to.
Yeah.
kids, and not supposed to do more kids, so I learned. But, you know, I've become a better planner, and I've become more conscious of language and things like that, so, and maybe he's learned to do a little more free spirit, you know. And God, probably never would have gone on and things like that, so, but I think that's what I've seen, is that God kind of draws us to, you know, I'm becoming more of a lion, maybe he's becoming more of a otter.
That's a, it's a negotiation. Yeah.
But it's actually incorporated into our personality. It's not just a training for me anymore. It's becoming easy.
Yeah. And really, you want the Holy Spirit to guide you in these things because you're trying to love each other, right? That's the whole purpose of marriage.
No, but I mean, I just think that it's God's, God has taken us to.
Yes. Right. I think that's good.
Yeah, I love that. The way it, your being opposite didn't cause a lot of stress. And
no.
Oh, it did. You've learned this.
It's never happened, but it is. On money decisions, it used to be me, but that didn't work. Now we, come together and do things. So whether strengths that I have, I would lead, whether strengths that she has, she can lead.
So life is an honor. I've already left twice. I've already lost twice because I'm an honor.
Not a detail.
You're still wearing your green dress. And this morning, I was bouncing around and everything else, and he organized with everything in a way. I'm like, he's our sleeper. Yeah. So I was looking for my name tag, and it was right where I left it, by my body, where it was supposed to be. I said, calm down, and you can focus right here on the table. So, those are kind of subliminal ways to kind of learn to talk. I said, before I used to do that.
Yeah, that's why we like the pre-marriage. The pre-marriage counseling is the best that we can do, and then follow them that first year. We had this fellow from Georgia Tech. Last story, and we'll start on time. This fellow from Georgia Tech brought his girlfriend, and he and I would be doing Operation Timothy, and we'd be into something really spiritual, and then Brian would just leave. His mind was gone. He was somewhere, I could just tell looking at him. I say, Brian, come back. He's right in front of me. Now, Brian was getting a PhD in robotics programming at Georgia Tech. He was a flake. So here was his girlfriend.
He's a genius.
He's a genius, yeah. But he was still a flake. And so I said to his fiance, Mary, I said, now, Mary, when he does this to you, you must believe that he loves you. You cannot think that he doesn't love you because he checks out. I said, because he's going to do this your whole marriage. So don't marry him if this is going to be a deal breaker and you're going to make his life miserable because you think he doesn't love you. I'm saying he's born this way. He cannot help it. He is never going to change. And so Mary was so grateful that we pointed that out. She married him. Now they got a couple of kids. And he went to work for Disney doing their robotics. That's where he is. So he was really, really smart, but he was going to be hard to live with. If that bothered you, that he would just be sitting there talking, engaged in this conversation, then boom, he's gone. You can see it's vacated in there.
Well, thank you for sharing that, you two, that they've learned to
I'm not sure, we might be out of
time. They've learned to appreciate each other's differences. You kind of saw off each other's rough edges.
Couple. Well, let me just say, please read through this tonight, and what this it starts on time, and what how we're in the fourth quarter. You guys are in different quarters. Be interesting if you divided your life into quarters and then decided with a calendar, how are you going to spend your time? So you have a plan. And then you can't just keep being busy doing things that you don't really want to do. It's because you didn't have a plan. So we'll stop there and give the Bible hour, guys. You want to take this off?